Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We stand now ready for your word. Father, we pray that you will bless both the preaching and the hearing of your word. We pray that good seed would find good ground, that get good seed and good ground would produce great fruit to your glory. Help somebody who needs you to know you. Help someone who knows you to grow in you so they can help somebody else come to know you. We ask you to bless as only you can. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this past week, I began doing some research on what are the thoughts around how to become great in a specific field. Whatever field that you're in, are there some common points? Is there a formula on how to become great in that respective field? There were four things that came up consistently that people said, if you want to be great in an area, you have to practice these things. One is identify your passion. There's a connection between passion and greatness because it's hard to be great in an area you're not passionate about. Listen carefully, because there will come a point when you have to go through some difficulties, and the only thing that will sustain you when times get hard is a passion for what you're actually doing. Second thing they said is you must set clear, specific goals. These goals have to be SMART goals, right? Specific, measurable, attainable. They have to be goals that you can put out there and you can get there, even if it's incrementally, step by step. Third thing they said is you have to seek opportunities to grow. That if you want to be great, you've got to take advantage of every opportunity to grow. You've got to use your craft. You've got to use your skills. And you've got to look for opportunities to better yourself. That's the only way you will become great at something. And then the fourth thing they said was refine your skills. Understand that you haven't arrived yet, that you still got to work to become the best that you can be. Sometimes it may call for a complete overhaul or a complete reset. Sometimes it just may call for you tweaking some things, but you ought to always have the mindset that you want to refine your skills. That's one formula for becoming great in a specific field. But here's what I want to ask you today. How do you become great for God? See, many of us have a plan and a strategy to rise to the top of our office, to rise to the top of our respective field, to rise to the top of our company. But what are your thoughts about how to become great for God? Last week, we learned that greatness in God's kingdom doesn't begin with an applause. It begins with obedience. It begins with hearing God and then moving in the way that God wants you to move. We saw the beginning steps of how Abram began his journey to greatness, not because of who he was, but because of who he followed, because he obeyed and he believed. And today I want to dig a little deeper into what it looks like when God brings greatness to you, when God puts his greatness on you, and when God brings his greatness out of you. When he shapes your future, when he blesses your faith, when he covers your name, and when he makes your life a blessing to others. So today I want to challenge somebody, encourage somebody else to take the steps to move from believing to becoming, to take the steps to move from comfort to embracing your calling, to take the steps to move from faith to fulfillment. I want to challenge you today to be the greatest you can be to the glory of God. So today I want to continue a message that we started on last week entitled, How to Become Great for God. And we'll call this part two or 2.0. How to become great for God. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, wherever you are, you can go to our website, goodhope.org, or download our app and you can find a fill-in-the-blank outline there. Now, you remember on last week I told you Abram got to this place in part because of an uncompleted journey or incomplete journey that his father, Terah, began in Ur of the Chaldees. You remember Terah, his father, had two other sons, Nahor and Haran. Haran was the father of Lot, who was the nephew of Abram. And you remember Lot's wife is the one that turned back at the fire and brimstone that fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says she was turned to a pillar of salt. That's that same Lot. And the Bible says that Terah feels this urge to go to Canaan. Haran, his son, dies in Ur of the Chaldees. And we're not told why Terah felt that need to leave. Maybe he just wanted a fresh start. Maybe he wanted a new place to go, because this is the first time that a father would bury a son who died of natural causes. And so here is Terah on his way to Canaan, and the Bible says he gets to Haran. Some of y'all remember the story. He gets to Haran, and the Bible says he stops there and he settles there. He settles there. On his way somewhere else, he stops and settles in a town called Haran. We don't know if he stopped in Haran because it was the name of the town and that was the name of his son who died. We don't know if he had an episode, if maybe he got discouraged, but the Bible says he settled there and then he died there in Haran. And my brothers and sisters, there's too many of us who have been on our way somewhere great who have settled along the way. And the worst thing, the only thing worse than settling where you should not be, is staying there so long that you end up dying there. And that's what the text says happened to Terah. But then God speaks to Abram. And God says to Abram, I need you now to make a commitment to go where I want you to go. One of the things that I've learned about God, and it's real interesting in my own life, and I'm sure it's true in your life, God typically asks you to do something that you don't think about doing. And many times God will challenge you in areas where you have been, but you don't need to stay. For example, every time God says, fear not, he says, fear not, because there's some fear lurking somewhere. And so he speaks to a situation that requires a response from the ones he's talking to. So when he says to Abram, Abram, I want you to get up. And I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your people. I want to take you to a place. And I want to bless you when you get there. He says that because he knows there's a level of comfort that Abram must have where he is. And God says, you may be comfortable where you are, but I can't bless you the way I want to bless you if you stay where you're comfortable. I've got to move you to a place where I can do something great. Let me give you that definition for becoming great for God. It's on your outline. If you didn't fill it in last week, you can get it this week. And if you did fill it in again, and maybe you'll remember it next time. A definition for being great for God: discovering God's purpose for your life, developing yourself for that purpose, and deploying yourself in that purpose. Discovering God's purpose for your life, developing yourself for that purpose, and deploying yourself in that purpose. I had somebody years ago say to me, Pastor, you're lucky. And And I said, why do you say that? He said, you're lucky because you know what God wants you to do. And you have an opportunity to do it. The rest of us are still trying to figure it out. Well, let me give you a message. I had to figure it out too. I had to be very intentional about discerning what it was that God wanted me to do. And guess what? I have other talents. I have other abilities. I have other gifts. But I would not allow those things to distract me from what I discern to be God's purpose for my life and my living. And my brothers and sisters, God's purpose for your life and living is there for you to discover, for there for you to live it out. Let's get to point one, and let's walk through what it means and how to become great for God in part two. Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to realize the Lord can make something great out of you. The Lord can make something great out of you. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 2, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The Lord said he would make out of Abram a great nation, a great nation. And notice what he says. He says, I will make. That word make means to fashion, to complete. It conveys the idea of performing an activity that will result in something. The Lord says, I will make you great. I will make you great. I will bring something great out of you. This idea of greatness has with it not only the connotation of size, but the connotation of importance, of significance, of something that is going to matter, something that is going to make a difference. God said to Abram, I will make of you a great nation. I will do something beyond who you are and what you can be on your own. Now remember, if you go back to verse 1, God says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So I want you to notice the order here. God says, I'm not going to show you the land until you go. I'm not going to give you a preview of the itinerary that I'm going to take you on. All I need you to do is obey me and make a commitment to go, and I will show you where I'm going to take you. So here's basically what God says to Abram. If you do, I will. You go, you leave, I will. Now, somebody said, wait a minute, what's significant about that? Here's the problem. For most of us, here's what we say to God. We say to God, I will if you do. And God says, no, you got the wrong order. I don't do and then you will. God says, no, if you will, if you do, then I will. My late pastor, Dr. E.K. Bailey, used to say, you can't beat God giving, but you always got to pay up front. God says, if you do the simple, I'll do the supernatural. If you are obedient, I'll give you overflow. He says, if you give me your person, I will give you a purpose. But it starts with you. And look at the personal promise God made to Abram for Abram's greatness. God says, I will make, I will do. And what God can do to help you become greater for him is greater than you can do for yourself. That's why he said it's your job to obey. It's God's job to do. It's not God's job to do in order to get you to obey. Matter of fact, truth be told, God's done already enough that you should be obeying. And if he doesn't do anything else, he's done enough already. Have I got a witness in here anywhere? God says you ought to make a commitment to do. Here's the second thing. Number two, you need to realize the Lord can bless you. The Lord can bless you. Now, the Lord promises to bless Abram. Verse 2, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. Now, here's what I want you to understand, and those of you who are watching wherever you are, and those of you who are under the sound of my voice, we cannot claim personally the covenant that God made with Abraham, because it was a covenant with Abraham. All I want you to see is how you can connect your life to the principles that are presented, even if the promise was not made directly to you. There are principles here, and here's a principle: that the Lord can bless you. The word bless there means to not just salute or greet, but it's used to communicate God's divine favor on your life. God says, I will bless you. I will give you my love and my presence and my provision and my protection. I will bless you. I'm going to look after you and take care of you, Abram, because I love you and I will bless you. Now, don't miss it. He says what he will do on the other side of Abram's obedience. He still hasn't put anything up front. He has simply said to Abram, Abram, if you obey, I will bless you. Somebody under the sound of my voice, God is saying to you today, if you will obey, I can bless you. Here's what I've learned. God can't bless you like he wants to bless you in your disobedience. Because if he blesses you in your disobedience, you'll start thinking what you're doing wrong is actually all right. And God says, I can't grant you but so much grace in your disobedience, because you'll never make the commitment to be obedient. And some of you, like Terah, was satisfied when he got to Haran. You have been satisfied, thank you, Lord, in living at a particular level in your disobedience. And God says, if you settle there in your place of disobedience, you will die there and miss the blessings that I have for you on the other side of being obedient. He says, the choice is yours. Here's the third thing. Number three, you need to realize the Lord can make your name great. The Lord can make your name great. Let me put a quarter in the meter and park here for a second. Watch what the text says. He says, I will bless you, the B part, verse 2, Genesis 12, and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Let me just focus on make your name great. Abram wasn't great when the Lord called him. Abram was not chosen when the Lord called him. He had to make the choice, Abram, to obey so he could claim the promises that God said were available to him on the other side of his obedience. But God would make Abram's name great when he followed him. So great that he would be recognized as one of the greatest to have ever lived in the world. First of all, the greatness of his name is clearly seen in secular history. Abraham is not only the father of the Jewish people, but he's the father of the Arab nations of the earth. Both people, even though they are fighting today, trace their ancestry back to the one they both call Father Abraham. But not only is his greatness seen in secular history, his greatness is also seen in sacred history. See, his name is synonymous with being a person of faith. Not as Abram, but when God changed his name. See, God knew that Abram had Abraham all up in him. But Abraham couldn't come out of him until he made a commitment to obey God. Somebody said, wait a minute, what do you mean Abraham had to come out of him? Let me show you. Look at Genesis 17, verses 1 through 8, and look at what the Lord does. When Abram was 99 years old, stop right there for a minute. God calls him in Genesis 12 at 75. Some would say he was too old to be called even then. But at 75, God gave Abram a choice to follow him or not follow him. He chooses to follow him, but it's not until 24 years later. Somebody ought to hear me today. 24 years later that God comes back to now pronounce the blessing that was the result of the covenant that the Lord offered to Abram 24 years earlier. Y'all, in this age of instant gratification and the desire for microwave miracles, God teaches us in this passage that sometimes you just got to wait for your blessing. You just got to wait. You just got to wait on it. You just got to wait on it. If I was one of them talk to your neighbor preachers, I would tell you, look at your neighbor and tell them you just got to wait on it. Just got to wait on it. Sometimes you just got to wait on your blessing. Watch what the Lord says to him. End of verse 1. I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. At this, verse 3, Abram fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. Now, watch the blessing. God takes the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, He. He is a letter that denotes blessings. He takes the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet and then puts it in the fifth place of Abram's name. He says, I'm not only going to bless you, I'm going to double bless you. He says, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. I made a covenant with you 24 years earlier, but you've been faithful now, and I'm going to bless you where you are right now. And then watch what he says. Not only am I going to bless you, but I'm going to bless your wife. I'm going to take Sarai, take that same hay, that letter that we would transcribe as an H, out of the Hebrew alphabet, put it in the fifth place of her name, so now her name will no longer be Sarai, it will be Sarah. Here's the point. God says, when you add what you have with what I give, I can bless you in an abundant way. But I can't give what I have to what you already have if you don't give yourself to me. Can you imagine? 24 years, they had to wait. But God says, I've got better for you on the other side of your obedience. I just need you to trust me. God says, when you follow my directions, I will make your name great. You have to make your move, and when you make your move, then I can make my move. I can change your life from Abram to Abraham. I can change your life from Sarai to Sarah if you make a commitment to me. And here's what I want somebody to know. You're sitting here today, you're watching right now, and there's greatness in you that God wants you to give birth to. Because every Abram had an Abraham in him. Every one of you who are a Sarah or a daughter of a Sarai has a Sarah in you. God says the limitation is not on my end. The shortfall is not on my end. It's on your end. I just need to know if you're going to trust and obey me. Here's the fourth thing. Number four, you need to realize the Lord will bless you so you can be a blessing to others. The Lord will bless you so you can be a blessing to others. Look at the last part of verse 2, Genesis 12. So that you will be a blessing. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Abram believed God. He believed God for the promised land, even though he didn't know where he was going. And he believed God for a promised seed, even though he was past childbearing years. He believed God. And God says, I am going to bless you. He says, I'm going to bless you. But he says to Abram, whose name now would be changed to Abraham, I'm not just blessing you for your sake. I'm blessing you so you can be a blessing to others. I'm going to bless you and then bless other people through you. Some of y'all looking at me real strange. Let me see if I can make it plain. It's no accident that you've been blessed, and it's no accident that folk come to you when they don't go to anybody else. It's no accident that people come to you on the job to get encouragement and inspiration and advice. It's no accident that you have been in your community, in your neighborhood, and you've been able to bless other people. It's no accident that you have been a blessing to people in your church, people in your family. Why? Because you have been blessed to be a blessing. You know, there used to be a saying that God won't put more on you than you can bear. And I think that's a lie. I think God will put more on you than you can bear, so you'll depend on him. But God will not give you beyond your ability to share your experiences, your time, your talent, your treasure, your temple, your testimony. God has blessed you to be a blessing to somebody else, to encourage somebody else, to inspire somebody else. Someone in here, you need to realize you are blessed, and you are as blessed as you are because God wants to bless others through you. How dare you be selfish with your blessings? How dare you try to be a reservoir of your blessings, and God wants you to be a river with your blessings? Here's the last thing, and then I'm going to let you go. Number five, you need to realize the Lord can protect and provide for you. We're talking about how to become great for God. When God challenges you to make a step, realize the Lord can protect and provide for you. That's what he promised Abram, whose name would be changed to Abraham, and that's what God can do for you. Watch what he says in verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, I told you earlier, we can't claim directly the promises that were made to Abraham theologically as our own promises, because that was the Abrahamic covenant that he made with Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham, for the children of Israel. But here's the principle. If I belong to God, do I believe God is going to take care of me? Do I believe God is going to provide for me? Do I believe God is going to protect me? Now, don't make the mistake, y'all, of you identifying who you think your enemy is and then telling God to get them. You know, some of us will do that. You know we will make our grudge God's grudge, right? Now, Lord, they ain't do me right. Get them, God. God does, I believe, promise his believers that he is going to be with us. Look at Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, here it is, and that he rewards those who seek him. If you go down the list in Hebrews chapter 11 and you look at those heroes of the faith over and over again, they believed God, they trusted God, and they were rewarded by God. Those who walk with God in faith, upright and committed, will experience his favor, his protection, and his provision. Look at Psalm 84, verse 11. Let's read it together. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth. The A part says, in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Because Abram obeyed, his location was changed for the better. Because Abram obeyed, his circumstances were changed for the better. Because Abram obeyed, his influence was changed for the better. Because Abram obeyed, his status was changed for the better. Because Abram obeyed, his name was changed to Abraham. His parental status was changed. His legacy was changed because he obeyed God. And my brothers and my sisters, as I close, I just want to encourage somebody today. Because when you make a commitment to obey God, the blessings don't stop with you. God can bless your children and your children's children. You might not, like Abraham, bless a nation, but you might just change your household. How different would your family be? How different can they be if they have an example, a model of godliness and obedience to the call of God? See, you have to open your ears and hear when God is speaking. You have to open your mind and leave behind whatever and whoever is holding you down. You've got to open your heart and do what God is commanding you to do. You've got to open your mind so you can begin to believe that God will bless your obedience. Have I got a witness here? When you hear God's voice, when you do God's will, when you believe God's word, God can make something great out of you. And he can bless you beyond measure. The Lord can make your name great, not for your glory, but for his glory. So don't chase the greatness of the world, but let God make something great out of your life. And here's the good news for somebody. You don't have to be perfect to be great for God. You don't have to be sinless to be great for God. You don't have to be famous to be great for God. You don't even have to be known to be great for God. But if you're faithful to what God calls you to do, have I got a witness in here? God will bring greatness out of your life. If you commit to him, God will do what no other power can do. When you commit to God, he can make something great out of your life. If you commit to him in faith, God can bless you with favor. If you commit to him in prayer, God can carry you in power. If you commit to him with trust, God can crown you with triumph. If you commit to him in the struggle, God will strengthen you in your storm. If you commit to him in the valley, God can give you the victory. If you commit to him when it's hard, God will send you some help. If you commit to him in your sacrifice, God can give you your supply. If you commit to him in your brokenness, God will build you up better than ever. If you commit to him when you're down, God will pick you up. If you commit to him in your day, God will give you your destiny. You've got to let God have his way. Yes, yes. God wants to move you from absence to abundance. God wants to move you from just listening to living. God wants to move you from calling to commitment. God wants to move you from direction to destiny. He wants you to move beyond just having faith. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants to move you from potential to purpose, but it's up to you. But it starts with that first step of obeying God. Now, somebody may be listening right now, and you're saying, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Here's what I would challenge you with. You may not know the final destination, but God says you haven't started where you are. You haven't started where you are. As a matter of fact, I can hear God saying to somebody today, somebody who's watching right now, you're asking for the third, fourth, and fifth step, and you haven't made the first step. God says, why do I need to show you step two, three, four, and five if you haven't made step one? That's what a journey of faith is. And there's somebody who's sitting here right now, you already know more than you're doing. God says, how many times I got to tell you? You say, oh, Lord, I need another sign. Lord, show me. Show me. I'm slow, Lord. Show me. And Lord said, okay, I'm going to show you again. I'm going to give you another sign. Now, what you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Because you plan like you waiting on God. And God says, no, I already told you.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on you. Father, we thank you. And we bless you today. I pray now, God, that everything that's been said has been pleasing in your sight. I pray, God, that somebody would make a decision today. Somebody who needs you will make a decision to know you as Savior. But there's so many under the sound of my voice who know you as Savior who need to make a move now to obey you as Lord. To say yes. To pack their bags in their proverbial haran. To say, I'm no longer going to stay where I have settled being. God, you told Abram you got to leave where you are and leave people, leave friends, leave family in order to follow me. And there's somebody under the sound of my voice. They're hearing, they're just not moving. And then they're wondering why greater blessings have not come their way. God, I pray that they would move according to your word and according to the leading of your spirit to fulfill their potential in you. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.